Good
evening.
We have come to the end. As is commonly said, all good things must come to an end. I'm not necessarily too fond of that statement. Because for the child of God, the goodness of Christianity, it never ends. We're temporarily apart from Him, apart from our Lord, apart from our God, and I use this terminology in a physical sense, because we're not in His, use this term, physical presence. But what we establish now will indeed transcend into eternity. So if all things are good now as it pertains to our Christianity, that good will never come to an end. Brothers and sisters, that's what we look forward to. And we have gathered together this week in hopes to bring others into the fellowship. We know and we are aware of 2 Peter 3:9, it is God's will that none should perish. He's long-suffering for that very reason. He wants every soul. There is no soul He wants to be destroyed. In light of some of the common and modern-day thinking, that's fallacy. God continues to suffer with humanity and hopes to get us all. The sad reality is the vast majority will not submit to Him. When dealing with the world and trying to convince them to give their lives to the Christ, holy, immediately what one begins to think is all that they have to give up. We have become so attached to things of this world, to things of this life. When it comes to saying give all to Christ, my immediate thought is, what else do I have to give up? Sad reality is many in the church have a similar mindset. We're so attached to things that we do not give ourselves wholly to that which heaven requires. Christianity is looked at by some, as being burdensome. It's taking the fun out of life because it is not understood. We remember the word of Jesus, Matthew 11:28-30, as we looked at briefly on last evening. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest to the rest of your soul, but you see in that context what is needed for one to attain the desired rest, the desired satisfaction, the desired joy, and that is learning of Christ. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, you'll find rest to your soul, rest for your soul. I find it interesting, I was pondering on some thoughts, and I began to think about that, and I thought back on a couple of movies. Remember several years ago, some of you may not know what the movie was, but Jamie Foxx did a movie depicting Ray Charles. And in that particular movie, you find this man who's not the actual man, but he is acting just like the man. And listening to some various reviews that he did, he talked about how much time he spent with Ray Charles and his music and reading about this particular individual. It has also been said, when you look at the movie, all of the songs that he sang did not have Ray Charles in the background. It was him. This man spent countless days and countless hours with this particular man that he was setting out to depict in the movie. I just imagine how much would we begin to depict the Christ if we began to spend more time with him. How great would we be as a body of believers, and the effect that we will have upon the world if we just spent more time with the Redeemer. When we will also do that, we will recognize that the Christianity that we have the privilege of coming in contact with, it's not burdensome, it's joyful. We turn our attention to the book of Philippians, chapter number 4 this evening. You go with me. The words of these in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 and following. Paul would write in verse number 4, we'll read through verse number 9. Paul would record Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. King James said, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says, think or meditate, ponder on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he says to do. This will be the result if you do this. The God of peace shall be with you. Is there ever a time, give this thought, is there ever a time when the child of God should not be full of joy? Is there ever a time? We know that oftentimes situations arise in life. Even Paul in Philippians chapter 2 would bring out his emotional connection with Epaphroditus. Him being sick, and Paul was grateful that he was allowed to continue to live. Paul would acknowledge in that context, in that text, that if Epaphroditus would have lost his life, it would have caused him emotional pain. We know situations like that come up. We know in today's modern society, divorce is running around like a plague, and divorce not only has impact on the two people that is immediately involved, but children and other distant family members, it affects everybody emotionally. Oftentimes we are unhappy on jobs. Oftentimes there are conflicts in families and the list goes on. But in any of these situations, where is it that we find in any circumstance where the child of God should lack joy? Paul would say in the context before us, rejoice in the Lord always. We see him, if we remember the background of the book in which we're reading, one of his many imprisonments, he's presently incarcerated, bound and chained, day in, day out, for over two year time span. And from that prison cell, from the corridors of his own incarcerated home, he says to the Philippians, who are in the midst of a society that is not very comfortable for them. Pain is definitely being inflicted upon them because of the nature of the people that they're having to deal with. We remember in Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 and following, you dwell in the midst of a corrupt and perverse generation. Imagine the pain and agony that was inflicted upon the Christians in this society. But Paul said to these people from his prison cell in Rome, you rejoice always. We know the pain that can be inflicted upon the righteous. We remember the words of Peter in 2 Peter chapter 2 as it pertained to Lot when he was in Sodom and Gomorrah, how that wickedness vexed that righteous individual. We remember in Deuteronomy chapter 7 when God would send his people finally into Canaan. He said, when you go into the land, there are seven nations in that land that you need not yoke and covenant yourself with. They would inflict you with pain. They would draw you away from me. Well, we know that Israel decided not to obey God's command, and they did the contrary. When they got into the land, they did not remove all the people from the land. They did not utterly destroy as God had commanded them. And pain was indeed inflicted. Indeed it was. But we come back to the words of the Apostle Paul, and we consider the message for the night. Rejoice always. There is never a time when the faithful child of God is separate and apart from his God. There is never a time when the individual who is faithful to the Christ is not in a state where his salvation, his redemption is solidified. There is never a time when the child of God is hopeless and helpless if he's doing what the dictate has required. So if that being the case, there is never a time he should walk around as if he is hopeless and helpless. Paul was not in this particular situation. Rejoice always, always be excited. He will go on in this particular text. He will say in verse number 5, let your moderation be made known unto all men, or rather, let your gentle spirit be made known unto all. A gentle spirit, an attitude of confidence, even in the midst of the atmosphere you're in, even in light of the situation that you're having to endure, let it be seen, your gentle, humble spirit be known throughout the entirety of the realm in which you reside. Remember the words of Peter in 1 Peter 3:15, always be ready to give a defense, an answer to the hope that is in you. Sanctify Christ the Lord in your hearts. When they see you, they should see the epitome of hope. They should see the light of Christ shining through your very being. They should see someone that they can be drawn to so they can access the same joy that you have accessed. But for the Christian and the child of God who walks around as if he's lifeless and hopeless and helpless, he's not drawing anybody to them. But we saw in chapter 1 of the book of Philippians how the life of Paul and his stability, his strong stance in for Christ and his purity and his Christianity actually caused others to do the same. And he's seeking to invoke that same spirit into the Philippians. So rejoice always. Let your gentle spirit be made known to all. And then he brings out this phrase, one of the most intriguing and exciting phrases in all of the Bible. King James said, the Lord is at hand. A better rendering would probably be, the Lord is near. You rejoice always. You walk around with a gentle spirit. You walk around with confidence because the Lord is near. We know the words of the Hebrew writer. If you go there with me real quickly, similar situation there in the background of the Hebrews. In Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, if you go there with me real quickly. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6, the words are these. Let your conversation be without covetousness. He says to them, and be content with such things as you have, for he hath said, these are words of encouragement. These are words to invoke once again spiritual fortitude into the Hebrews who were seeking to depart Christianity, neglecting the salvation they had come in contact with because of what they were dealing with in their atmosphere. So the letter was given to them and seeking to admonish them, seeking to chastise them, but also seeking to encourage them. Look at the salvation we have. Look at how much better and how much greater it is. And at the latter part of this particular book, consider this also. Look and consider what you're wanting to leave and to depart from. For he hath said, I'll never leave nor forsake you. So that we may boldly say, Christianity is not a people, Christians are not a people who lack confidence. Christians are not people who are uncertain or unsure. We should know whom we have believed. And we should be persuaded that he's able to grant what he's promised. That invokes joy. That provokes motivation. That encourages both us and others. Paul says rejoice always. So that we may boldly say that the Lord is my helper. And I will not fear what man shall do to me. Another passage that really intrigues me. Go with me to the book of Exodus. In light of this. Exodus chapter 33. One of my favorite passages of scripture when you speak of the nearness of the Lord to his people. Jesus will say, once again, we consider the closeness with the Christ, the closeness with God, is predicated upon our learning about him, upon us continually focusing our attention on him. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come unto me, take the yoke of the burden off, take my yoke, learn of me. The picture there is two individuals, and the yoke will be put on two animals, and they are working together on a plow to complete a task. Well, Jesus said, yoke yourself with me. Take my yoke, take that other one out, and yoke yourself with me, and I will carry you through life. But you have to continue to learn of me. Remember the words of James and James chapter 4, when he's encouraging those in that day to resist the devil. He'll flee, draw closer to God, and he draws closer to you. Next is chapter 33, verse number 11. One of my favorite passages, as you really sit here and ponder on this. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaking unto his friend. And that's all I want from that verse. That was a closeness that was shared between Moses and God that God desires to be shared with his Christians. He wants closeness. He wants relationship. And when that is established, joy is invoked. We can heed then the words of the Apostle Paul to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Your gentle spirit will then be made known. Your confidence will be sure before all of humanity. They know who you stand for. They know who you stand confidently with and for. Christianity is not burdensome. Christianity is joyful. Let us stop acting as if it's some plague that we come in contact with and not want to give ourselves wholly to it. The text goes on. He says these words in verse number six. Be careful for nothing. King James reads, better stated, don't let anything cause you to have anxieties. Don't let anything cause you to lose focus. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything burden your mind so that you forget what the bigger picture is. But in contrast, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, he says, let your request be made known to God. Yes, sir. You begin to look at this verse and you recognize the burden is removed when I rejoice always. I acknowledge from this context, I have no reason to allow anything to cause me distraction, because there is a God whom I can pray to that actually causes those things to not exist, those things which burden me. I want to look at a verse real quickly in light of this context. Go with me to 1 Samuel real quickly. I want to look at the prayer of Hannah. And seek to bring out a few thoughts here. Some context will not be fully understood if we don't necessarily understand the culture there. Hannah was barren. She couldn't produce children. For a Jewish woman, that was like the plague. She was viewed as less than a woman. To rear children was a delight for the women in that culture. You tell an American woman that, she'll probably shout, you won't have children. Really? This wasn't the case for a Jewish woman. They wanted children. The text says in verse number 9, they were at a feast. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat up on the seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul. The Bible says she prayed unto the Lord and she wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on my affliction of thine handmaid and remember me and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man child, and I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. And this shall come to pass, and it came to pass, rather, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli marked her mouth, or he watched her mouth. Now Hannah, she spake in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli thought she had been drunken. Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken? Put away thy wine from thee. And Hannah answered and said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul unto the Lord. Here is a woman of burdensome spirit. Here is a woman that is in need of assistance. Here is a woman that desires something that she cannot have, and her husband's other wife, Peninnah, is steadily provoking her. And it begins to have an effect on her spirit. She's burdened, but she has previous times given attention to the words of Paul, though she knew nothing about Paul, but what Paul said, she actually is doing. The text goes on to say, count not thine handmaid for a daughter of a liar, for out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. Then Eliah answered and said, go in peace, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition that thou hast asked of him. And she said, let thine handmaid find grace in thy sight. So the woman went her way and did eat, the Bible said, and her countenance was no more sad. Back in the book of Philippians, chapter 4, Paul would say, rejoice always, be gentle and confident in spirit. Don't let anything cause you to have anxiety. Don't let anything cause you to lose focus. But bring all of your concerns, bring all of your cares, bring all of your worries to the God of heaven who can actually do something about it. He will go on into verse number 8. And he would give the medication for spiritual sanity. There is no better medication than meditation. If you ever want easement of mind, if you ever want true joy, begin to digest the proper medication. He says to them these words, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, he says, think on these things. Look at those things and tell me which of those things you think on where it does not bring your attention to the Christ that you should be yoked with, that's going to provide rest for the soul. That will invoke that joy that you should have always. Which one of those things can we think on and our attention will not be drawn to the Redeemer? Go with me to the book of Joshua real quickly. Listen to the commission that was given to Joshua. In Joshua chapter 1, God would begin by drawing his attention to his responsibility. Moses did. Now it's your turn. It will be your duty, it will be your responsibility to get these people and to take them into Canaan to line them up to fulfill the promise in which I have made to them. But it will give to him these instructions. In verse number 5, he would say to Joshua, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. He provides him confidence. I'm not going anywhere. I'm here. So therefore, be strong and of good courage, for unto this people you shall divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Look at the courage he is invoking in the mind of this man. These are God's words to his servant Joshua. He says unto him, only be strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded from thee. Then he gives some extremes. Do not turn to the right hand or to the left, but stay right on the path that you may prosper in whatever you do. What he's speaking of here is accomplishing the task that you are being set out for. What is the task? Get into the Canaan land. What does it require? Confidence. It requires courage. It requires stability. And I'm going to give it to you if you do what I commission you to do. And if you follow the dictate, what you are setting out to do, me through you, will be accomplished. It's not a might or maybe. It will happen. He goes on and he said, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success. Worries are removed. I'm going to be successful. If I follow the dictate, what I'm setting out to do at the word of the Father, at the word of God, is going to happen. Paul says, rejoice always. Always show confidence. Don't let nothing distract you. Stay on the path. If you have a concern, take it to the God who hears you, listens to you, can do something about it. Allow meditation to be your constant medication. Same thing we see in the book of Psalm. Go with me real quickly to Psalm 1. Once again, heaven provides the medication for sanity. It provides the medication for stability. Provides the medication for confidence, courage, joy, hope, peace. And all of those other things that we desire. The psalmist would say, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You ever, if you are that individual that lacks confidence, that lacks joy, that walks around hopelessly and helplessly, that considers Christianity to be burdensome rather than joyful, you may want to consider who you're listening to and who you're associating with. Consider Psalm 1. Bad advice, bad association should not be associated with Christians. Just listen to the word. He gives the negative. The blessed man is the one who does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, who does not sit or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit at the feet of us, or sit in the seat of the scornful. But rather, his delight is in the law of the Lord. That is his association. That who is who he yokes himself with. That is who he listens to, in the contrast to the other. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. And this will be the result. And this man, he likens him to a tree that is planted by water, planted by a river. This particular tree is constantly receiving nourishment. Day in, day out. What was the prior instruction? The word, let it be your constant instructions. The water that builds up, the water that purifies the soul, John chapter 15. The water that sanctifies, Ephesians 5, and continue to build the body up into this glorious and beautiful organization that Christ can one day present to himself. Allow it to flow through your soul. That individual will be like the tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth fruit in its season. His leaf will also not wither, and whatever he does, he will prosper. Again, confidence. The child of God that lacks confidence is the child of God that needs to question his spiritual stability. But the child of God who remains joyful and remains joyful always, that knows what he has, that individual is, God is going to invoke that same confidence in others. We go on. Read verse number 9. And he says, those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, he says, do. Again, Paul is calling for others to look at him as an example. See, we know Paul is sure of himself. Paul is sure of his Christian stance. He's sure of his position in the Christ. Are we? So his confidence and courage is not removed. As a matter of fact, he can tell others, take your example from me and follow me. And this what will be the result. If you do what I'm doing, consider my state, consider my position. I'm incarcerated and I'm at peace. And if you do what I have done and am doing, the God of peace shall be with you also. Well, remember, back in Acts chapter 16, when Paul and Silas were incarcerated for preaching the gospel. And in the bottom of the pit, with all of the cold and possibly all the refuse that was remaining in that particular place, had to be filthy, disgusting, probably cold or hot, sweaty, musty, you name it, they dealt with it. But in the midst of that place, you find a man practicing what he preaches. You find a man who is rejoicing always. And at midnight, Paul and Silas began to pray and sing praise unto God. Was Christianity a burden for them? No, not at all. They knew whom they believed. And they were going to stand along with them, even in the midst of a disgusting prison cell. So to the Philippians, Paul would say, rejoice always. Christians, we need to rejoice always. I want to give us something else before we come to the close. Go with me to the book of Hebrews real quickly. Hebrews chapter 4. In verse number 14 and following, I want to read this verse to you. And I want to give you a thought to consider as it relates to the Christ, in the context in which this is used. Verse 14, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Listen to his words. For we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but wasn't always tempted, like as we are, yet without sin. So therefore he says, let us come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Go with me into chapter 5, because the thought continues. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men and things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself to offer sin, offer for sin.
And no man takes this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said to him, thou art my son, today I have begotten thee. He said also in another place, thou art a priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplication with strong cries and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and that he was heard, and that he feared. Though he were a son, the Bible says, yet learned he obedience by the things in which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. I want to call your attention quickly to the context. It is an admonition to a people that is seeking to neglect what they come in contact with, not treating it honorably, Christianity, neglecting the great salvation. Context of chapter 3 is him once again admonishing them and telling them to consider a group of folk in previous years who lacked faith, lacked confidence, threw in the towel, did not listen to the message of the God of heaven. And he swore in his wrath, you will not enter into my rest. So here is the context challenging people not to quit and not to give up. And he draws our attention to the Christ. And he says of him, we do not have a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities. In other words, what you are enduring, there is one who's already enduring. The pain that you're suffering, it's already been suffered. You wanting to quit, think about him and his time in the Garden of Gethsemane when he wanted to throw in the towel. Think about him. He brings this up in this context. It became difficult. It became hard. We see in chapter 12, in agony, he travels up Golgotha's mountain, bearing a cross on a mangled body for the joy that was to come. His taking his robe, his seat back in heaven, yes. But not only that, the joy of seeing the doors of heaven open for humanity. And in that, brothers and sisters, we rejoice in the Lord always. Paul says, back in the book of Philippians, real quick. Let your confidence be seen. The Lord is with you. The Lord is near. Don't let anything distract you. Don't let anything discourage you. Don't let anything move you. We have that which is sure and steadfast, Hebrews 6. We have the hope that is the anchor of the soul. We know what we can access without that. So if there's any issues, take it to the Lord in prayer. When you do, the peace that God gives, the God of all comfort, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, will rule your hearts. And here is the medication for spiritual sanity. Think on these things constantly. Meditate day and night. And if you follow also my example, you will receive the same peace that I have. But his encouragement begins with saying, rejoice in the Lord always. I rejoice, remain confident, remain steadfast, I remain immovable. Not letting my light be seen before me. Not do that. Not only is heaven glorified, God is magnified, but the world may just see something in me that would draw them to Christianity. And in that also, brothers and sisters, we can rejoice and rejoice always. You may be here with us on this evening and you have not accessed the beauty of redemption. You have not come in contact with Christ. You have not allowed God to be your Father. God requires you and he requires all of you. Anything less is not acceptable. No, it's not enough just to believe that he is, though it is essential, because he that comes to God must believe that he is and that he is the reward of them that diligently seek him. But when you read the context of Hebrews chapter 11, you find all of those men and women who had faith, it is followed by activity. And that is what he requires. It's not enough to believe that he is. Activity must follow to acknowledge that he is. That is the substance, that which is seen. You show that he is because you act as he said. So you come to him by hearing his message. You're hearing the gospel. The message presented by John, presented by Jesus, presented by the apostles, and now today presented by faithful gospel preachers. Same message has rung through the ears of man throughout all the ages. You need to hear it also. You need to hear it again and again and again. But if you have not heard and heard it the first time and listened to it and obeyed it, we encourage you to do so. You must hear that he died, biblical facts. He was buried, a biblical fact. He was resurrected, a biblical fact. Upon hearing that message, I acknowledge from hearing it that there is something I must do, as did those in the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, the first Pentecost after the resurrection. That is, having heard that message, they cried out, "Brethren, what shall we do?" There is something that you and I must do also and continue to do. Peter will respond. He will respond appropriately. As he was being directed by God himself, repent. Be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of your sin, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. So they heard, they believed, he told them they need to repent. He also told them they need to be baptized. That's what you need to do. But if you hear and you have fallen off the path of righteousness, you have treated Christianity as if it was burdensome. There was a world that was out there that you wanted to partake in. You wanted to go out and sow your royal oats just a little bit more before you run all off into eternity. Well, you're going to find yourself in eternity, on the side of eternity you do not want to be on, if you don't commit your life to the Christ on this side of eternity. So the plea from heaven is for you also to come back. Be like David and repent of his sin. He will cleanse you. He will purify you. He will place you back on the path of righteousness. If you remain there until or unto death, where he is, you will be also. The doors of the pearly gates will be access to you. You can walk into the kingdom at some point in time in the not so distant future. We can see the God whom we've heard, whom we've learned about, whom we've read about all of these ages, and never have to leave his presence. What a joyful day would that be. Will you come as we together stand and sing? Say invite you. Amen.